I work for the Evil League, but today is my day off.
Hello, lovely listeners.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of Not Just Tentacles, where I, Rachel, attempt to demystify anime.
And I, Ruth, stay permanently mystified.
We have a heck of a lot to discuss today because this is the super delayed winter 2024 episode. Or rather, what I've been watching during this time.
You're like, winter 2024? But that's in the future.
I know, but this is the way that they always describe it on Crunchyroll and other anime sites. So just roll with it. And plus...
Crunchy.
And plus, it's a fairly futuristic genre anyway. I mean, with people travelling in time via microwave and so forth, or video games.
You see, that's just sold it to me. Travelling in time by microwave.
I haven't watched that one yet. I will.
Which one's that? Because I've been sold.
Oh God, what the hell is it called? Steins Gate? That one.
Steins Gate.
I'm sure that's what it's called. I've seen a few things about it. But anyway, we are not talking about Steins Gate today. We are going to be discussing, in no particular order, Mr. Villain's Day Off, Cherry Magic, The Witch and the Beast, and very, very briefly, Metallic Rouge. So...
Ooh.
You can pick it. Which order do you want it to
be? Okay, well, obviously... I really want to see Mr. Villain's Day Off, so we'll do that last. We'll save the best for last. So what's the second best? We'll do that first.
Well, in my opinion, Mr. Villain's Day Off is the second best, but okay.
Which one for you is...
Right, okay. Right, the best for me is The Witch and the Beast.
Okay, let's start with that.
So this is a dark urban fantasy. Set in a parallel universe, I can only think. So basically, you've got these two characters called Guido and Ashav. So they work for something called the Order of Magical Resonance. So to cut a long story short, Guido was cursed by a witch. We don't know how long ago, but what it means is that Ashav has to go around carrying her actual true form, which is this huge, hulking, zombie-like figure around in a coffin on his back.
Awkward. I mean, it's hard enough getting your mate to carry your coat for you.
Or helping you move house. It's like, here, do you want to carry my humongous Frankenstein form? And he's like, okay. But I really enjoy this anime.
Does he fancy her or something?
Well, this is the thing. They have a very, it's not antagonistic exactly, but they do bicker quite a lot because he's all kind of calm and aloof and she's all angry and fiery. And this is what I like. She is so different from the demure girl next door types that you normally get in anime. She is the bruiser. She is the one that does things.
Is that because she's got a big zombie body?
Well, it could be that, but she can fight perfectly well by herself. In fact, they've only used her true body once so far in the series. The rest of the time, she can take people out as herself.
So does her one true body, is that's probably not how it sounds, that just sounds like a quiz show, doesn't it? Not quiz show, a game show, Saturday Night Britain's Got a One True Body. But what does her one true body still need things like food or pee poo?
I'm really not sure. They don't go into much detail about it, but he is extremely powerful himself. He is the brains of the outfit. He's a mage.
What's the difference between a mage and a wizard?
I think a mage is more powerful. And I think mage often does darker magic. And this is one of my favourite things about this anime. It freely borrows from all sorts of mythology. So, and you have him with his extremely sexy voice explaining all these concepts at the beginning of each story arc. Like one of them, for instance, heavily involves a grimoire. So you have him explaining what grimoires are. Another time...
And everybody who watches Hell of a Boss is like... Mm-hmm.
Another time, necromancy is involved, so he explains how necromancy works, and it's usually accompanied by these absolutely gorgeous stained glass looking illustrations. This is a very good looking anime. I mean, some people have complained that they prefer the original art of the manga, but they can sod off because all of it looks delightful to me. So it is basically them going from adventure to adventure, because she is absolutely obsessed with the idea of tracking down this witch that cursed her. And he, to be honest, he does kind of wind her up by making her go along on these quests that turn out to have absolutely nothing to do with witches, or if they do, they're not the witch that cursed her. And it is, warning, it is an extremely dark anime. So if you don't like disturbing subject matter or lots of gore, then stay away. But if you're fine with those things, then...
I'm out.
Like, in the very first adventure, they meet this woman who is seen as being the saviour of the town. And unusually, everybody knows she's a witch and they love her. But this has all clearly been a calculated front so she can get all these young women into her home so she can bloodily sacrifice them.
Ew.
And that's when they have the big fight, where they bring Guido's true self out of the coffin and other cases. And
I find it so confusing because Guido, for me, is a guy's name.
Well, I guess
like Guido Fawkes.
I guess she does have quite a masculine personality, quite aside from her other self.
Well, you should see her true body. I mean, her true body looks like the thing out of the Fantastic Four.
I do think it is drawing on the Incredible Hulk and that sort of thing. And I like it because I can't actually think of that many stories where the Beast is a woman.
Does she get to walk away slowly to piano music at the end of each episode?
Because I've always wondered, is it simply because nobody would bother to get to know an ugly woman? Because the only time that you had this happen was Fiona in Shrek, and obviously she looked beautiful most of the time and became a monster by night. Or was it only the case because Shrek was an ogre and obviously looked like her the rest of the time? So,
I don't know. I mean, even as an ogre, she looked like...
She's a cute ogre. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, ogre's not my thing, but...
But with Guido, it is her personality that's off-putting. And just that she's completely feral. Like, she's not interested in anything other than witches. She's super violent and picks fights with everybody. She sits there kind of gnawing bones and turns all of her meals into bloody messes. It's like when I'm really short of B12 and I'm like... That's how she eats all of the time.
Like when you tore a steak apart with your hands and just shoveled it into your mouth.
I know. And the thing is, it looked like a documentary.
I cooked it rare. All it was missing was the Attenborough voiceover.
Yeah. And here we see the lesser-spotted Rachel devouring her prey.
It'd be more, and here, in the deep, furry recesses of her cardigan, Rachel's long teeth come out.
But I love everything about this show. I even love the side characters, like the two that we met in one adventure that didn't really involve our guys. Fenora and Johan, they were brilliant. So they were a necromancer and her assistant. And
I like the fact that women have got the powerful roles here.
Yeah, exactly. All the leads in this story are women. Like another major character they meet in one of the cases, because there's a serial killing witch, is a policewoman stroke mage called Kira, and she is very...
This is confusing.
She's very important. She's a good Kira, not the other bad Kira that works for cops.
Well, some people would say the other Kira isn't that bad.
No, he is. He's evil. And likewise, they're now getting close to a witch called Helga, who is apparently quite weak as witches go.
I'm just thinking when I hear the name Helga, I just think of Alola.
Yeah, me too. But either way, she's got into trouble with the paladins, and she is just this...
What's a paladin? The thing is, right, I've had to blag being nice. Well, they're nice anyway, but I've had to sort of like pretend that I know what I'm talking about. Well, speaking to LARPers.
Well, I gather these guys have something to do with the church, and it's their job to take out witches, apparently. So they seem to be like the Inquisition, but don't quote me on that. And they have an ultra-powerful...
Nobody expects the paladins!
Yeah, they have an ultra-powerful mage of their own who has the rather mundane name of Matt.
Hello, I'm Matt the Mage!
Who looks like a Tolkien elf, and he can command ice powers. But either way, Helga...
Hang on, wait. Tolkien elf, that looks like Lucius Malfoy, right?
So, like a blonde, beautiful man. Yeah, but either way, so there seems to be all sorts of...
And they inevitably have a touch of the David Bowies.
Yeah, there's always got to be one David Bowie-looking man. It's the law.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of backstabbing and skullduggery going on there. And Helga was absolutely desperate to have a boyfriend, but it seems to be suggesting that she and Guido might get a bit closer. And one of the ways of curing her curse is kissing a witch after all. So possibly that might happen.
Well, that's how to end the series.
But I don't know. So far, it's also been implied that she and Ashraf might get together. Who knows? I don't know.
On.
I'm carefully avoiding
the manga.
There's
a solution here.
Yeah, one true thruple.
One true thruple.
So, okay, that's The Witch and the Beast, which I am thoroughly enjoying.
Score on the door.
I would give it a 4.5 out of 5, I would say, thus far.
So you're giving it 9 out of 10.
Yes, it's excellent. Oh, and something I really love about it, before we move on, is the theme tune is fantastic. It totally sets up the world, all the fighting and blood. And you know how you get those themes which sound quintessentially anime. Like, it sounds like they clearly took their inspiration from Death Note. It's that sort of theme tune. It's like, yeah, this is a supernatural anime. Clang, clang, bash, bash, wallop, wallop, wallop. And it's wonderful. I love it. I mean, it doesn't sound like that. That sounds shit. But you know what I mean? That sort of tune. Like, like Moriarty the Patriot or...
See, I wasn't that impressed with the opening titles to Moriarty. I wasn't impressed with anything about
it. Oh, let's not get started on that. We know you think it's just glorified fan wank and should just be avoided.
Avoid the fank.
Anyway, okay, so we are now digressing. So what do you want to
talk... When aren't we?
What do you want to talk about next?
Well,
Cherry Magic.
Yeah.
Okay, so Cherry Magic is a BL... And it's become incredibly popular because there's also a live action version. And I think they've made a film as well. So the anime is coming out at the peak of its popularity.
When's the musical?
I don't know, but I imagine there will be one soon.
Okay.
So we've got to go with the really cheesy concept that I believe originated on a Reddit board sort of like years ago, which is if you are a virgin at the age of 30, you somehow become a wizard.
Okay.
And
I'm guessing that wizards are the new assassins right now.
And for our particular main character, possibly. Yeah, maybe.
Like, is over 30 wizard becoming the new assassin school?
Yeah, but this is set in our world and it is otherwise an incredibly mediocre power to have. So basically, Adachi is an ordinary guy that works in an office, and he has never had a girlfriend or serious relationship, which is...
Is that through lack of trying or just not interested?
He has tried, but he just keeps getting knocked back. For whatever reason, these women just weren't that into him, and he was just so demoralised, he was put off the idea altogether.
Oof. And hope he doesn't become an incel.
No, he's not going to become an incel. So he realises that he can hear people's thoughts if he touches them. And then one time he's...
Hang on, wait. The fact he's got to touch them at all in the first place to get his superpower, that is fucking crazy.
No, but if he accidentally stumbles against somebody, because this is what happens.
Oh, I accidentally stumbled against somebody.
But either way...
Oh, I accidentally touched your boob.
Yeah, but either way, there is this really popular guy at his work who's incredibly handsome, good at his job.
Oh, I accidentally touched your dick.
His name was Kurosawa, and all the women love him. Everybody thinks he's great, and he's always been a bit suspicious of him and thinking he's a normie because, yeah, he doesn't like people that he considers to be kind of too attractive or so on. So I think possibly he might have become...
A normie, because that means just normal person.
Yeah, exactly. So him being slightly bitter by the fact that life is passing him by, he thinks like that. But one day he accidentally stumbles against him and he realises that Kurosawa is head over heels in love with him.
Awkward.
And he is taken aback because he's never had thoughts for men about men before. But once he realises that he's genuine and, yeah, he...
Ooh, I'm a virgin. Ooh, I'm gay.
Yeah, then he starts thinking about it and they find their way, they build towards a friendship and he starts thinking, yeah, maybe I do reciprocate his feelings. But it is awkward because...
So this is like Heartstopper at the office.
Yeah, if they could read each other's minds. And I like that they're in their 30s because it gets so boring when everybody's a teenager.
Yeah.
It's just like, I want to see shows about adult people.
No offense, people under 30, but when you're when you're over 40 in my case and approaching 40 in Rachel's case, we want to see the mums and dads.
Yeah, and they can still have a coming out
but
concept.
But not being mums and dads.
Yeah, they can still have a coming out narrative with this because obviously he hasn't been with a guy before and neither has Kurosawa. And this is the first time that you started having feelings for a guy. It's just because Adachi was really nice a year or so ago when he got really drunk at a work do and helped him. So
we've all had that kind of work do.
But meanwhile,
three Prosecco's down the line. Everybody questions their sexuality.
He has a friend who is a romance novelist. So he goes to him sort of asking for love advice, but then accidentally touches him and hears that he's a virgin as well, which might seem completely pointless. But then he gets his own story arc, Sug, the writer, because he starts having feelings for this cute delivery man. He comes by his house and he deliberately starts ordering more and more things.
Hey, so, did someone order a massive package?
So, yeah, he...
Or is it a pizza guy? Hey,
No.
Did someone order a 12-inch
meat He delivers piece? Amazon and stuff. And so often that even the guy himself begins to notice and thinks he's a bit weird, but he's also slightly cute. So Sug picked up a cat that he found called Udon.
Hang on, which one's Sug?
So Sug is the writer.
The writer best mate.
Yeah, and apparently the delivery guy, so his name is Minato, he had previously seen the cat but not been able to take him home. So he's really happy to see that this cat has found itself a good owner. And this
is what I like about Japanese cartoons. They like cats.
They really do, yeah. And this is what gets them bonding and makes him realise...
No offence to dog lovers. I like dogs. I prefer to have pets that bury their own poo.
I infinitely prefer cats, and there's just a real downer on them in British culture. People just really don't like them for some reason.
That's because British people can be...
Well, that's true. So he realises he has the amazing mind reading ability too when he accidentally touches Minato when he's stroking the cat. No! That is not a euphemism. So basically, we have these two sets of characters finding their way to love when neither of them have ever been with men before. Well, obviously, they haven't been with men before because they're all virgins. Well, I don't know about...
Presumably, Minato, you know, the reason why they're virgins equals compet.
Could well be. And...
Compulsory heterosexuality.
In the most recent episode, they both realised, Adachi and Sug, that they have this power and tell each other about it and about their feelings for the guys in their lives. And that there is finally a kiss, an actual kiss. And again,
it's not just sticking your arm over the lips.
Because the trouble with BL and GL is they tend to leave kisses until the very last moment as if to say, oh, let's do this before we get cancelled. But here it's like bang in the middle of the anime, so no going back, and it was a proper drawn out, that makes it sound like it was boring, proper prolonged snog with them touching each other and so on. So he'd actually just told him that he was a wizard, and okay, Kurosawa might have been a bit but then he seems okay with it.
I'm a 30-year-old virgin and a wizard and I'm gay.
Does sound like an Am I the Asshole post, doesn't it? But I'm enjoying it. It's just nice and fluffy. I mean, okay, every now and then I do get the odd red flag from Kurosawa because he does seem to be very jealous of anybody that he speaks to. Like, oh, why is he so different with Suga than he is with me? Because people are different with friends from uni than they are with their crushes. I mean, just accept that. And that. And every now and then you do get
people... Wow, you've grown.
Oh, shush. And every now and then you do get him being super... Adachi being super paranoid, not only about how Kurosawa is this guy that looks like a model and is perfect, but also people's perceptions of them. Like, and one time on their first date, they were out buying clothes and the nosy guy behind the counter was like, "Ooh, he's buying him another man clothes. That must mean he wants to undress him." And it's like, mind your own business.
I mean, fair.
And there are these two random women that they go past. It's like, "Ooh, I wonder if they're a couple." Oh, no, definitely not. He's way too good looking for him. Oh, and before I go, move on to something else. They also have a co-worker. Well, they have two co-workers that are quite important. One of them is a complete for Josie, who is kind of...
A what?
So that means that she loves BL. So she has been shipping them for ages, which causes a bit of confusion because he accidentally knocks her, Adachi, and thinks that she's thinking, "Oh, I love Adachi," when in fact she's thinking, "Oh, I love how much Adachi is into Kurosawa." So she's enjoying watching their romance. And then they've got another one, I think it was called Rakauka. I'm probably getting this wrong, who is this dork who happens to know Minato, and there does seem to be a bit of history there, although whether they were together or whether they're just rivals because they're both dancers, I have no idea. But we'll find out more
Minato,
about that.
Isn't he the delivery guy?
Yeah.
And he's a dancer.
That's his actual passion, the delivery.
Does he dance whilst delivering?
That would be cool, but no. So before
Pirouette, here's your package.
So before we move on, there is a lovely opening sequence that for some reason has an awful lot of people dissolving into birds, maybe keeping with the wizardry theme, and just doing the whole kind of like... this is BL. These guys are discovering their feelings for each other and just showing all of the characters, even like their co-worker who's like, "Oh, aren't they cute?" Or their other co-worker just being a kind of little nerd that nobody actually likes. And just showing our various couples together. It is great. So I think, again, it's not extraordinary. It's not a landmark in representation, although I suppose the kiss is, and that you've got two queer couples getting reasonably equal amount of time, but this seems to be a good adaptation going by what people are saying about it. And I might even check the live action one out once I've finished this, because that's on Crunchyroll too. So
very good.
Okay, score on the door for this one, I would say was...
Why do we say scores on the doors?
You started it.
Well, it's an old game show thing.
I would give this a 3.5. So it's not great, but it is enjoyable fluff.
And so not a 3.142.
So it has the worst title of the season and probably the corniest premise of the season, but I'm enjoying it. It's nice to see.
Cherry magic. And we should have said... First of all, where can you find The Witch and the Beast?
All of these can be found on Crunchyroll.
Okay.
Right, before we go into the pièce de résistance, and I'm just stuttering all over my words, I do apologise.
It's all right, at least you're not spitting my face today.
I will point this way. I will briefly touch upon Metallic Rouge, which I was...
Metallic Rouge, oh, now if you've got a nickel allergy, that's going to be eczema in a pot.
So I was... quite disappointed by this one because
Rouge is what we call blusher.
Because this was made by Studio Bones, who amongst other things made Auron High School Host Club and more recently MHA. So it's known for making some really successful anime.
So Metallic Rouge, it's like when you see A24 on live action stuff.
No,
like,
Bones.
Oh, it should be good.
Studio Bones. Metallic Rouge is the name of the anime.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, like, it comes from a good stage.
Yeah, see, this should have been great, especially since they made it for the anniversary of the studio and because they dubbed it straight away. There was none of that waiting around for ages. But unfortunately, it does not deliver.
Oh, it's tanked, has it?
So it has a cool concept. It looks beautiful.
What's the concept?
So you have, it's in a world, it's set on Mars, where you have super realistic robots called Neon? I can't quite remember how you pronounce it. So our main character, Rouge, is a Neon. So she has been given the task of eliminating 9 other Nayan who are known as the Immortal Nine. And she has a human handler called Naomi who communicates with her via a robotic bird. So this show doesn't really know what it wants to be. On one hand, it wants to be a buddy comedy between Rouge and Naomi. But on the other, it wants to be kind of like a cyberpunky Gundam Blade Runner type thing.
I think it sounds amazing. I want to see it.
It should sound amazing and does on paper, but in practice, it is as boring as fuck. It kind of starts in the middle, so you just get all this stuff just dumped on you with no proper explanation. You're just expected to catch up. And then later on, so you get all these funny character moments between the two girls and you think, oh, this is good. And all the promo art and everything made it look like it was going to be a Yuri, especially since it was leaning so much on their relationship. I thought, oh, this looks good, I might like this. But then it's just the series went on and it was just like, okay, the animation's great and I'm enjoying the fights, but there's nothing there. It just feels really shallow. It's like, I don't see why I need to care about these characters or about their problems. And it just bored me. So I dropped it after the 4th episode, I think, because I also just didn't like Rouge as a character, because people don't seem to know how to write female robots. Like, they can make male robots, they can make them really likable and compelling, like, say, Data in Star Trek, for instance. Mm-hmm. But seriously, all I could tell you about Rouge is that she can kick ass in a metallic suit and she likes chocolate. That's it.
That sounds like my kind of girl.
But either way, that is her personality. And it's a shame because Naomi is a fantastic character. She's great. But it is basically like she is having to do all the work in order to...
Is it first season syndrome?
But this only has 12 episodes. It's a unique series. Yeah, but it's not based on a manga.
So it's not due to be continued anything?
I don't know. And looking at how everybody's dropped it...
Maybe it needs a second season to...
No, generally speaking, if something's not picked up after 3 episodes, then people don't like it and it doesn't get commissioned. And looking at what people...
That was what happened with Gypsy, wasn't it?
Probably. Looking at what people...
Face it, Gypsy had a great premise and then suddenly ran out of oomph about halfway through. And you're like, oh, come on, girls, just get it on.
But either way, I've been looking at people's comments about it on Twitter and they do tend to say exactly what I think, which is, yeah, it started okay, but it's just too boring to continue
nice
with,
premise.
Which is a shame.
Crap execution.
I mean, it has a fantastic opening theme. In fact, it's probably the best opening theme of the season, but unfortunately, it just couldn't live up to it. But... now, so we're going to move on. I'm not going to give it a score because obviously I haven't finished watching it, so that wouldn't be fair. But
well, score so far?
Well, I don't know. 2?
Rage. If it's under 3,
yeah,
drop it.
Exactly, that's why I dropped it. I didn't see the point in wasting my life on something that I don't like.
Hmm.
And it wasn't grabbing me in any
way. At least it wasn't a 1 or a 0, right?
Yeah. So, in complete contrast to that, an anime that everybody said sounded shit, especially because it's a slice of life, Mr. Villain's Day Off.
Okay.
Which is
I've seen clips of this and I love it.
It's the unexpected gem of this season. So, basically, the premise is, because I think it's based on a short form manga. So, in other words, that's like panels rather than kind of like an ongoing story.
Oh, like a newspaper cartoon.
Yeah. So, our main character is known only as the General, although everybody calls him Mr. Villain. I mean, the fans and people talking about him and so on.
But also, that's the title, Mr. Villain, and he's having a day off.
So the rest of the time, he is the General of an evil organisation. Again, I think it is just called the Syndicate or the Organisation. So they're aliens and they want to invade Earth. So he has 2 distinct personas. He has his general look, which is when he's all kind of pointy-eared and big-tailed and wearing lots of chains.
Where does his tail start from? Because in the pictures I've seen, it always looks like the tail is coming out of his ankles.
I can only assume it comes out of his butt. I don't know, but he's got this giant spike.
How did he sit down?
He manages somehow. And then when he's pretending to be a human, he looks a bit like Benedict Cumberbatch in a pair of elf ears.
Yeah. Maybe not Benedict Cumberbatch. Who's the other one with the cheekbones? The Irish fellow with the curly hair. Not Cillian Murphy.
I have no idea who you mean. I don't know who any of the actors under a certain age are. I'm too old. Anyhow.
Rude.
So the general was told, as part of his ongoing plan to conquer the earth.
I know what he looks like. He looks like he should be representing Bosnia in Eurovision.
Actually, yes. Good shout.
Yeah.
So anyway, one time he was told, can you find out what these things that the earthlings like called pandas are? So at one point he went to see them. He thought, I don't get these creatures. And then one of them fell over or something. And he was just completely entranced. And now he absolutely adores pandas. And on most of his days off.
How do pandas fall over? I mean, they spend so little time upright or like walking around. They're just like.
But either way, he spends most of his days off watching the pandas at the zoo, taking photos of them, buying panda merch, eating panda themed food. He absolutely adores them. I mean, he likes.
Now, Rachel, we know you have this issue.
Right, I don't anymore. Okay, I cured myself of it maybe a couple of years ago. So this is proof of how far I've grown as a person. I used to be terrified of pandas. I couldn't even look at one on the TV or even just.
Well, even that Kit Kat advert where one sort of like goes skating, does a pirouette.
Yeah, I just couldn't stand them. I mean, a few years ago, there was an insurance advert where a panda got into a car with this woman went, hello, Rachel. And I was like, bah! It was horrible. So this, a few years ago, would have been my worst nightmare. But now it is kind of like my comfort blankie of a show. Because it's
comfort blankie. So it's not even just normal comfort blanket. It's a comfort blankie.
I just love it. It's just so feel good. Because don't forget, the evil HQ people need to be fighting somebody. So this is basically what the villains and Power Rangers do on their day off. Because they're fighting a superhero team who consist of the highly incompetent Red. Or rather, he's good at his job, but he spends most of his time getting lost. So he thinks of the general as the nice guy from the Evil League. Because he always tells him where the train station is or the supermarket or whatever. Whenever he meets him when he's not working. And then you have Pink, who wanted to be a magical girl but is upset that she's stuck being a Super Sentai type instead.
There's Sentai?
That's the most famous version. So ours is Power Rangers, but it was Super Sentai who were kind of like the genre encoders of that particular bunch of teenage superheroes in silly costumes.
So we call them Power Rangers, but they're Super Sentai.
That's right. And two annoying kids who are green. There's a black ranger.
Oh, yeah, they're fucking green skin kids.
No, they're not green. That's they're you have the green ranger. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but we see glimpses of them too.
So does the green ranger do all the recycling? Sorry, mum joke.
No, they're just a pair of scary children that order the older ones about. But it is just a lovely anime. Like, I love seeing him at work because one of my favorite gags in the show is the theme music, or rather it's not so much theme music as a leitmotif that plays whenever you're in the headquarters. So it's got all this ominous music, you know, like you're on the Death Star or something.
The phrase leitmotif, and yet I don't think you know what it means.
Right, here is what I think it means. It is a piece of music associated with a particular theme or character. So this is the music that accompanies Mr. Villain when he's at work. So you've got this music like he's on the Death Star saying, ooh, here's a scary villain at his job, but also a phone ringing. So it's like, this is a work sitcom. He might be trying to take over the earth, but nonetheless, it is a work sitcom.
Oh God, could you imagine that? I'm trying to take over the earth, but I want to speak to your manager.
And he's also got a few little minions. So there's a guy called Rooney who he makes orange art with and talks about pandas with.
Hang on, orange art. So is that art? that happens to be orange.
No, art made out of oranges, because they have a secret Santa at one point, and all they know about each other is that they both really like oranges, so they both get each other these massive crates of oranges, and they're really embarrassed. And there's a little one who I think...
Have you ever had a Sunkist orange? Because I thought Sunkist was just like, you know, the soda.
Yeah.
But it's actually like a brand of oranges.
Okay.
I had the Californian ones when I was in New York.
Yeah.
And they were delish. Best oranges
ever. Well, I'm sure the General and Rooney would love them. They've got a little minion who's recently started. I can't remember what his name is, but he's kind of all kind of like, excited that he's working with such a legend, and perturbed at how different he is from how he expected, although he gets himself in his good books by giving him some kind of panda themed present, if I remember rightly.
I'm just thinking of those oranges. Like, those oranges were the size of a UK grapefruit.
Nice.
Like, an orange that...
And there's also Trigger, who I believe is his superior, but...
Trigger? I'm just thinking of Only Fools and Horses, or I Die.
Well, this is a... You know how you always get that character in anime...
Or Roy Rogers' horse.
...who is constantly angry. So, yeah, he's easily triggered. So, like Bakugo in MHA. And he can't stand the General, and just everything about him annoys him. And one time when they're on a day off and they happen to be together, he is absolutely...
Why are they spending their day off together if they are not friends?
Yeah, I wondered at that. So, I don't think it's going to turn into BL, but who knows? And
evil BL workplace sitcom.
Well, I'm sure there's a market for that kind of thing. Why not?
I mean, but, that could just be my life.
But he is horrified, one, to find the General buying some panda-themed ice cream, I think it is. And two, he realises...
Hang on, panda-themed ice cream, is that just ice cream with a panda on it? Or is it like a... What flavour would you have for the black bits if you had an ice cream in the shape of a panda? Would
it
be like... Or blackcurrant?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So not only is he horrified at his...
I want to invent a like, little panda ice cream.
At his co-worker buying ice cream, but also at how upset he is. What,
Is, so is Trigger one of those, like, fellas, is it gay to eat ice cream?
Yeah. Like, we'd already had a previous installment where you had him being, the General being really upset that he had to buy, he bought a panda latte because it was cute, but then he realised it melted before he could drink it, but then he realised he didn't want to drink it, and he burst into tears, but this apparently made a guy at the next table want to buy it, so there you go. So, okay. It probably sounds like variations on the same joke, and it is to a certain extent, but it's just...
It's feel good.
It's so funny and charming, and the characters are so likeable that you don't mind. I personally would happily watch him doing his laundry or having silly dreams about pandas or any of that stuff, because you sometimes see him doing household things or getting his shopping. Like, there's an ongoing thing with him going down his supermarket and thinking that it's going to be like the last thing he'll leave when he destroys the earth, because he likes the girl there. He doesn't fancy her, he just thinks she's nice because she always gives
him his friend
good food recommendations. Yeah.
Ah, okay, so if you were going to destroy the world, but leave one shop, which shop would you leave?
I would leave the library.
Oh, no. No. It smells, the books aren't up to date, they make you pay in cash.
Yeah, don't get me started on that one.
They don't know the proper duodecimal system.
Okay, well, which one would you leave?
Wow. I would have to say, for all the good times and the knickers, Marks and Spencer.
Okay, fair enough. So, yeah, it might not be to everybody's taste, and you did get some people going, oh, this is boring, drop it or whatever, but I don't care. I like it. I mean, where else could you get... Because he even calls himself at one point, he's like, trust me, I'm a villainous mastermind. But at one point, he's heard that cats are one of the superior races of Earth. So he believes that if he gets this cat that he's talking to on side, then it will help him. So at first he tries talking to it and it completely ignores him. And then he realises, oh yeah, it doesn't speak my language. So he's like, meow, meow. And
that just sounds like my dad.
Bearing in mind that... Because obviously only watch this in Japanese at the moment. It hasn't been dubbed. The guy who plays him, I believe, is a well-known villain actor. So it's a bit of gag casting. So you've got this guy with this kind of baritone voice going meow, meow to a cat.
Who is the sexy voiced villain now? Because Alan Rickman's dead. Christopher Lee, dead.
Tim Curry isn't acting anymore. I don't know.
And even then, Tim Curry's voice wasn't that distinctive?
Yeah, totes.
He was Nigel Thingamabob, wasn't he? In that
Thornberry.
Show. Thornberry.
Yeah. But I'm noting that we are getting close to the 40-minute mark, so let's wrap this up.
Okay, well, if you do have any suggestions for who has got that distinctive voice of a villain,
then let us know.
Yes.
Okie dokie. So, scores on the doors for Mr. Villain's Day Off, I would give it a 4.
A 4? And yet you're giving The Witch and the Beast 4.5.
It's because The Witch and the Beast is a better show, but I don't know. I would say that it's Mr. Villain's Day Off is more...
I would say...
of a hug show, more I feel good after a crack day show.
I would say from the Rachel gesticulating, bouncing up and down and shining eyes and shining teeth scale, which is normally how I judge how good a book is, how good a show is, how good a cake is... I think you ultimately like Mr. Villain's Day Off more. Because your body language is like shiny teeth.
Love The Witch and the Beast, but because it's full of moral dilemmas and horrible people doing horrible things, it does make you feel a bit
If I wanted moral dilemmas and horrible people doing horrible things, that's just life.
Yeah, that is quite true. Okay, I think that's all.
I think you should revise your score.
Look, we'll just leave it for now, okay? We'll wait until the Mr. Villain episode and then we'll decide, okay?
I say revise it.
Right.
8.9.
Okay.
8.5.
Yeah, okay. 8.4. Right. So that is all we've got time for now. Next time, we are going to be talking about... God, I have no idea. Take your pick. So we've got Shy.
Me?
Yeah, we've got Shy. And then we've also got 16 Bits... Another Layer. See, I got the name right this time.
Another Layer.
And Spy Family. I was thinking of doing those two as a double bill, seeing as I have already spoken about Spy Family.
Well, I think we should see how 16-Bit and Spy Family are doing.
Okie dokie. Yeah, that's what we'll do next then.
Because they sound fun.
So until then, love you guys.
Bye. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to subscribe. And you can also follow us on social media. We are at TentaclesNot on Twitter. And on Facebook, our page is called Not Just Tentacles. Speak to you soon. Bye.